Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
You're only the boss if you put up your own money. If you don't put up your own money, I don't care how much somebody gives you, you're nothing but a supervisor. It's not yours. So how much money can you get paid to not... there's no money in this world for someone to pay me so they can call me, so I can call them a boss. That's like calling somebody daddy. How can a man call another man, that's my boss? We don't do that.
I mean, everybody at some point has to have a boss, right?
No, not in Harlem. Oh, okay. Put it like this.
Because you're somebody's boss.
No, I'm not somebody's boss. When I was in the street, if someone wasn't your boss, they gave you an opportunity.
Okay.
They gave you some work. You go make it, and then you bring it back. You can go buy your own work and do whatever you want. It's called consignment.
So why this can't be all work? This corporate America, we could be using
this. You don't
own
it. I'm telling you why. Question. Let me ask you a question.
Listen.
Can you give it to your son?
Can I give what to my son?
Whatever you're working for.
I absolutely positively can.
How?
Yeah, because I own shares of this company.
You bought them?
Yes.
What I'm saying is, can your son eat? Is this yours to give the whole company
this
to you?
Company is
I'm
not
asking.
My son's. No,
exactly.
It's not mine. But
wait, stop. Listen. It's not my question. If your son needs a job here, can you give it to him? No.
No.
If your son needs to get some money out the bank from here, some cash flow, can you get it?
No.
All right. You don't own this.
But I can take, the, I can take the money from here to invest in myself.
No, it's not yours. I'm not going to fight for something I don't own. Men don't do that. I don't fight for others. I fight for me. I'm not a doer. I'm not going to build somebody else's company and then take shares so my son can...
But listen.
What I'm saying.
But what about taking the money?
You come to work
every
day.
You took the money from Def Jam.
I didn't take. Wait, stop. Don't say. You're speaking my business, and you don't know what you're talking about. I take no money from Def Jam. What you talking about?
Take. I mean, they cut you a check.
No, they didn't cut me a check. We had a formula based on performance, and they calculated, and we got paid. And they
couldn't
stop. That's not us.
That's what we
do. No, no. We listen. Before we had Rockefeller. We put up our own money from Rockefeller, right?
Okay.
Then we sold half of it. We became partners. So that means no one gave us anything. We were 50-50 partners. We built something and sold it. That doesn't mean you work for someone. See, they let you believe that. So then what happened was, based on a formula, you know what a formula is? It was profit times a certain number. So if you make this much profit times 7, that's how much the number is.
Okay.
Based on that formula, they bought the rest. That's it. That's not nobody giving me money. I never worked for them. I put up way more money than Def Jam put up. Me, Biggs, and Jay put way more money up into Def Jam. I mean, rather into Rockefeller than Def Jam. All they did was collect our money. What you mean? Why you think Def Jam, they, first of all, when we were with Def Jam, they were bought by Universal. How you gonna call Def, how you gonna think of someone that's bought by someone to be someone's boss? That's my point. You have to understand what you're doing in business because you gotta do what's best for your kids. What's best for your kids is to put your money into something, distress, go through all of it, so when your child becomes a man, he doesn't have to work for nobody.
Right, well, that's the
you can
thing.
Just pass it to him.
Now, you talk about...
So if you're going to work 20 years in a business or 15 years in a business every day over and over again, and your son can't work here whenever he feel like it, you clowning
well,
him.
I don't want him to work
but
here.
That's the not saying you...
I'm
if you own it, wait
enjoy.
A second.
I'm here because
time
I
out.
I don't need a check.
That's
here.
Stupid. You
that's
should
like
be... Time out.
Because he enjoy it, not because he want a check.
You're wrong.
I'm here because
I like the check.
Wait, time out. You're lying.
I don't need a check.
Before you lose your control, just stay focused. So listen to me.
I'm working because I enjoy it.
Why don't you listen?
I'm working for free.
Who could work? Would you ever enjoy being a slave?
I'm not. It's not a slave. This is what I enjoy.
It's slavery.
Do you have to come to work today? Do you have a choice? Do you have to ask somebody when you have to? Yes, you do.
I don't.
Or you're fired. Can somebody tell you you're fired?
I don't.
Can somebody tell you you're fired? Yes or no? Can another man say you're fired?
Absolutely.
No one can tell me that. That's priceless.
But I'm here because I
don't care. You enjoy having a man be able to tell you you're fired?
But
you enjoy. Okay, let me ask you a question. So you're being selfish. Do you think your son enjoys you calling somebody else a boss? Don't you think your son would rather wake up with you and you could pick him up from school instead of having to do a 9-to-5? Don't you think? Yeah, all right, but don't you have to wake up?
Day.
It's 4 a.m. Don't you think your son would love if his name was up there, Dash, or whatever your last name is, instead of somebody else's? My pride is in my children.
Like,
look what I'm doing right now. Look at my son. I taught my son never to have a boss. He's 23. He owns a restaurant. He has cookies. He has equity. He busts his ass so he can pass it on to his son. If that's not what you're hustling for, you're selfish. You keep saying I'm worried about my kids. You worried about you.
My kids are good.
How they good? Your kids will aren't gonna be kids.
I feel like I'm in a Def Jam boardroom and backstage.
They kids, they're not supposed to work. I'm saying when they men, you're supposed to pass them
something.
You working for another man.
They're worried about
to me, this is retarded.
See, other Christians, I feel like I'm in Def Jam boardroom. This is not backstage. Everybody cool out for a second. But then I'll ask you a question. Ask your business man.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with taking the money from here and investing it into your into other stuff that we own?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Thank you.
Everybody eat a cookie. Cool out for a second.
I'm not mad. The mentality is this. It's frustrating. Because you're on the radio and this message is crazy to me. You're saying because you enjoy music or being a DJ, you enjoy having a boss. If you enjoy being a DJ, just why don't you own your own radio station and then DJ for your own radio station so your son can just get on anytime he wants. That's all I'm saying.
But it's steps
you enjoy. No, there's no steps to it because I do it. See, you enjoy the safety and the security of a job every day. But there's no pride in that to me. My son takes pride. My kids take pride in the fact that I have Dash Motors. And because I have that, my son said, I'm not going to ever have a boss. His mentality is different. It's just about changing mentality.
Well, let me ask you a question. There's millions of people out there that don't have that opportunity and
all
have
the opportunity.
A boss every day. So you're basically saying because they have a boss, there's no pride in that?
I think because people on the radio tell people it's okay to have a boss. They don't understand that they can have more. And because of the direct-to-consumer relationship with the internet, there's no excuse. So when I make a movie like Losadas, I don't have to ask if I could put Daniel in the movie. I just do it. I had to ask if I could put... Wait, hold on. I had to ask if I could put Cameron in.
Okay.
I don't have to ask them. You understand? There's pride in that. It's just a pride you should have in ownership.
So how do you get to that platform? How do you get to the platform?
By putting your own money up and investing in yourself. That's it. You flip. And getting a good woman and stop trusting dudes and stop worrying about other people's pockets and what other people have and what other people can do for you. And 9 to 5s aren't good because you hustle for a weekend. But when you can do something that's for yourself and your family, it never feels like it. I hustle for my last name. I don't hustle for my first. Welcome.
Number one station focused on rebuilding our nation. WMLR, More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
WMLR, what's going on, everybody? Power and love out there. It's your one and only Consul Sheshmu Amun. Man, what's going on? What's happening? I hope everybody out there is enjoying this Wednesday night. Yes, sir, hump day. You know what I'm saying? It's been, man, look, a rough week, hasn't it? You get to that Wednesday, man, and you need, you know what I'm saying, some peace and quiet. Because you're trying to make it through the week, man. And Wednesday is a day where you can just relax and chill and try to regroup as you take it home for that famous Friday. Well, guess what? We got something for you right here at WMLR, More Love Radio, and that is dark humor. That's right. Dark humor. Every Wednesday now is going to be about a celebration of Black comedy. Man, we're going to present to you this brand new show, which is a celebration of Black comedy, man, and we affectionately call it Dark Humor. And with that being said, every week we're going to bring you two of your favorite American African comedians, people like Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, Cat Williams, Martin Lawrence, Chris Rock. That's just to name a few, man. We're going to have live studio guests and get the hump out your back on that Wednesday, man, and get your laugh on. It's nothing like humor, man, to help you just, you know, deal with things. It's always good to laugh and put a smile on your face, man. It's a healthy thing. And myself, Consul Sheshmoamoon, and from time to time, Tahuti the Fly Virgo, my twin flame, will make sure we bring you all the comedy you need every Wednesday, man. Please share, join us on WMLR Facebook page. Come join us, man. Become part of the WMLR family and start promoting positivity within your family, man. Come get in tune with some dark humor. Now, tonight, this is a special night because this is the debut night. Now, normally we're going to have two comedians, but tonight I'm leaving this stage open for the king, the true king of comedy. You know, this person right here, man, I think it would be only appropriate that this person stood alone. This person needs no introduction, really. None at all, because growing up, this was the king of comedy for me. And I would agree that most of you would say so. It is the incomparable. I say the incomparable Richard Pryor. Yes, 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 my man, Richard Pryor. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to play Richard Pryor all night, y'all. I'm going to give y'all a nice dose of Richard Pryor to start off Dark Humor Wednesdays, man, as we celebrate black comedy. So I want you guys to sit back, man, get your laugh caps on. Man, if you're sipping on something sweet, maybe you're sipping on Hennessy, or either you're smoking on that favorite cigar, or maybe you talk, your girls are sitting around sipping on that Moscato. Sit back and listen, man, and get your dark humor on right here on WMLR. And this is Consul Sheshmoamoon. And this is the station, the number one station, that's dedicated to black emancipation. Let's get into this Richard Pryor, y'all.
I hope you think what I'm going to do is funny and laugh at me. I'm a comedian. And yes, I'm a comedian. And I just like to relax because it's early in the morning and I'm sleepy. I don't want to fight or nothing. Just wanted to be mellow. Also, I'm not a fighter. Never could fight. I had the moves, but I couldn't fight. The hitting part scared me. No, I was cool looking, you know. Did anybody see George Foreman fight Ken Norton? That is mean. I mean, that's the only dude in the world don't have no style. He don't have no style at boxing, right? The bell ring, he just come out right to and he whooped Norton like Norton said something about his mama or something, right? You know. What you doing? Put your hand down. What you doing with a... What you got a guard for? You know what I mean? Norton said he forgot his strategy. I saw him at the beginning. I knew it was over. Norton was looking at the floor like this. It's looking like I'm going to fall here. George was serious. George something. No, I meant it. Yeah, that's all right. Just as soon as they ring the bell, you know. Just wait till they ring the bell. It looked like George Foreman. Like when you hit him, look like that turns him on. Because that cat was hitting George some beauty. You know, ping, ping, ping. George was talking about, that's fine. That's good. Just stand right here just for a minute. So I ain't finished with George. It's my turn now. He hurt him bad. I knew he was hurt. Did you see him? No, he went, ooh. George hit him in the rear. Boom. He said, oh. And he tried to keep his front up. Oh, it hurts. And George was serious. Ollie and him going to fight in Africa. Now, that's going to be beautiful. Two brothers making $5 million apiece. The tax is going to be $8 million. I love Ollie, too, man. I want Ollie to win all his fights. But you got to watch out for that Ollie. Don't let him hit you no place. First thing Ollie should do when he gets to Africa is go see the witch doctor and become invisible. That's right. Did you see The Exorcist? Yeah. See, the movie would have been over for me
If I'd have been in the movie, it would have been over. If I'd have walked in the house and heard, that would have been it. Wouldn't have had to go no further. Right, with all the extras? No, no, no. Brothers exercise the devil every day, though, with two words. Be cool. Because the movie would have been over, right, if it had been a black man in the movie, because you don't be vomiting on no brother's clothes. Right, the brother walking in, what is this smell? What's wrong? Why don't you girl wash up? What's wrong with you, girl? Say, what the hell's wrong with you? What put you on in my suit, chump? Possess nothing. I whoop her in the devil's. Messed up their clothes and put the cross back on the wall. Messing around. I know some dudes will whoop the devil, take his money.
I mean, that's all you got is a horn and tail? I don't want to see you around here no more, chump.
Black people go to movies like that just on purpose to get scared, because black people aren't really afraid of anything. Not really. They go on purpose. They want to get scared. Scare me for 2 hours. You got it for 2 hours, and I'm taking it back. Because after 400 years of this, you know we don't get scared of nothing for real. Only thing that frightens me is like getting seen walking down the street with a white woman by two black women. That scares me to death. Right? Because sisters look at you like you killed your mama. Right? You know, you be trying to grin it off. They don't even want to hear you. It's not with me. I got married in California, married a white woman. Don't ever get a divorce here. Because my wife went to the court dressed like, looked like she was 11. She walked in the courtroom, I said, who is that? The judge started crying. My lawyer started crying. Everybody was crying, you know, and I knew I was in trouble because the judge said,
come here, boy.
I worked at a mafia nightclub. In Youngstown, Ohio, I was 19. I was 19 years old, right? And I didn't know shit about the mafia. My father was the baddest motherfucker I'd ever seen. So the mafia didn't mean shit to me. I did not relate to the mafia. Right? And I worked with this lady, Satin Doll. She was the star of the show. Beautiful black stripper, right? Because usually in those days, they had like, in clubs, they had a singer and a stripper and MC. I was the MC. And she was the first black star I ever met. Satin Doll. Yeah, because Duke Ellington had written a tune about her. You know, that's what she used to dance to and act. She was beautiful. She was 60 then. Oh, this bitch was fine though, man. I'm not lying. Lena Horne didn't have shit on her. And she was crying backstage, you know. I gotta get to Buffalo. They won't pay me. I said, who won't pay you? Club owners won. I said, oh, that motherfucker gonna pay me. Bet that. And I, now, this is how ignorant I was. I had a cap pistol. You know them blank starter pistols? I busted into the office with this motherfucker. I'm like, all right, give me the money, motherfucker. Doing my best black shit, you know. You know, that shit usually scare Whitey to death. And these motherfuckers didn't do nothing. And I'm sure that those men are sitting in that room today laughing. Because that's what this dude, he just started laughing. This fucking kid. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Tony, come here. Wait a minute, Rich, do the gun again. Hey, Tony, come here. Stick up. This fucking kid, come here. Come here, fucking kid. He's got a pack of gooses on him. Fucking kid, come here. God. They like to hug you and rub you. Come here, fucking. And grab your face. You've got the monos in there. This fucking kid got some gooses. Hey, my move. And they always say shit you don't understand. Like, hey, you want a little cuisine verome? Hey, Paolo, fix him a little bono salad. Put some struzzi on. Fry it up. They like fried foods. Fucking get out. Come in here. They come in here. They got it. Fucking get. New Japan, my God. Pay everybody off. Damn, it's all right. You're going to have time. They paid everybody off, let everybody go, and kept me. Like a pet. I fucking like this. You're this fucking... You got family? Well, you got family now. Who is it? Carmine, tell him I call him back. Tell him it's a stick-up. Ah! And these motherfuckers start telling murder stories. Hey, you remember when Guzzi, hey, remember when I made my fucking bones? Me, I had to go away. It was Cleveland, right? Fucking Teamster. Big mouth, hurt a lot of people, right? You know, ice pick's my thing, Rich. So we fucking had to drive down. Me, Johnny Salami. The Gabuzo brothers. They own the funeral parlor. You carry, we bury. Come here, you fucking kid. So we take this jerk off out bowling, you know, drive him around, get him a few drinks. Say, hey, let's get some bras, right? Little motel we had set up. Remember the Johnny? So we take him around. He gets kind of stoned, drops his glass. I say, now, I pop him with the fucking ice pick, right? I'm popping this cocksucker blood, squirting every which way. And I'm stabbing. Oh, God, don't kill me. Oh, fuck you, you guinea cocksucker. And the fucking ice pick breaks. Ah! I'm standing there with a fucking piece of wood in my hand. Ah! I said, Johnny Salami, what do I do? Johnny says, wait till it melts, asshole. Those were the good old days. What's the matter, Rich? You don't look so good. Hey, Spilo, give me a little Sinini for all. You got a way home? You want us to give you a ride? Ah!
Thank you. I am thrilled. It's not often that amateur people get a chance to be on television, even 30 or 40 seconds, as they were. And the comments were brilliant. Spoon on the end, a man who nobody gives a shit about. was cleaning out toilets, and we found him, he was making a sandwich. We said, Spoon, please, drop the doo-doo. Please, we don't want to see black people doing this. Please come forth and join in the group of life. And he since then has become a big doorman at a fabulous hotel. If you're ever at the Hotel La Rico, you will see him there. He's there when you park the cars. He's the one with you vomit in his hand. No tip is necessary. Just regurgitate, and he will accept that fine. Next to him is a woman who's passed for white for years. Used to be a hoe in Detroit. 7 niggas I know fired her. Just, fag got her and let her loose. That's how she got to Hollywood. She came out here on a Greyhound, not a bus, a Greyhound. Next to her is a wonderful Tim. Tim, that's a great name for a black man nowadays. It's Tim, it's for the hippie racist. It's like Tom, but it's Tim. It's the same thing. He's a really clever man. He plays with himself in movies. We discovered him in a porno film because we wanted to give him a job because he had the shortest thing of any black man in America. And we didn't want white people to know we had little ones. So we hired Timmy Boy. Next sitting to him is a big black gorilla. Who was at the zoo one day? We fixed her hair, and she's been acting a fool ever since. The only difference now, she cleans her cage. only difference. But I love her dearly. Next to her is what we call Miss Thing. We call him that with love and affection. As all of us know. Well, he hasn't let us down yet, has he? We've been friends a long time, and I sure wish he'd return my red handkerchief. My wife's been wondering where it was. I hope it still has her perfume scent on it. But really, Paul, it's really been a pleasure working with you because we worked together many years ago on the Red Fox show. We started writing together, and we walked into the office with the white man, and Paul what he did was sucked his dick. I must say, Paul had a sense of humor. He didn't let him come in his mouth. but seriously, Paul wrote most of the dialogue for everybody up here tonight. And he's a brilliant writer. And, we went once what was that man's name that we went to and we had to fight? The producer, Bill. Shelton Leonard. Yeah. Shelton Leonard. We walked in his office. We was there for an hour together, and Shelton Leonard picked our brains and he said, "Thank you, and you can leave now." And I asked for the money, and Paul said, "Don't do that. Don't get us in no trouble now." I threatened to kick his ass, and Paul tried to join him. but we're dear friends, and this is all in fun.
Next, just don't tell them about my Robinson. Next, I move. Pa was with me once when I first fucked my first faggot. And he's been holding that over my head for 2 years. I fucked a faggot. I just want to say it now so nobody else can tell. I liked it. I would have married him, but he had to go away and get operation. I'd like to move now, Pop. You don't mind? to move to the other end to a white person who I give less than a shit about. who is a very brilliant man. I haven't seen anyone this funny since Jonathan Drake. Jonathan Drake, as you know, used to eat baseballs in the afternoon and fart footballs. And it's close. He's close to that. He's really funny. As you notice, he's trying out for a Wolfman next week. He has all that hair on his hands, and it's obvious he jacks off funny because it's on the outside of his hands.
It's nice to have pride about your shit. I went home to the motherland, and everybody should go home to Africa. Everybody, especially black people. Really, man, there is so much to see there for the eye and the heart of the black people. Because white people, you'll go there and you get ideas.
Well, that's the way the black people in America should be, walking around with sticks. You get the wrong idea.
But man, you go, I went to the motherland and my roots, right? 700 million black people, not one of them motherfuckers knew me. I looked in every phone book in Africa. I didn't find one goddamn prize. I saw one familiar name, J-Bo Walker. I called that up. They say he's in Arizona. One thing I got out of it was magic. I like to share with you. You know, it's like I was leaving and I was sitting in the hotel and a voice said to me, he said, look around, what do you see? And I said, I see all colors of people doing everything, you know? And the voice said, do you see any niggas? And no. And I said, you know why? Because there aren't any. And it hit me like a shot, man. I started crying and shit. I was sitting there, I said, yeah, I've been here 3 weeks. I haven't even said it. I haven't even thought it. And it made me say, oh my God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. I got to regroup my shit. I mean, I said, I ain't gonna never call another black man a nigga. You know, cause we never was no niggas. That's a word that's used to describe our own wretchedness. And we perpetuate it now because it's dead. That word's dead. We men and women, we come from the first people on the earth. You know, the first people on the earth were black people. Because anthropologists, white anthropologists.
So the white people go, that could be true, you know.
Yeah, Dr. Leakey and them found people remains 5 million years ago in Africa. You know them motherfuckers didn't speak French. So black people, we the first people had thought, right? We the first one to say, where the fuck am I? And how do you get to Detroit? So you can take it for what it's worth. I know, like, I ain't, I'm just talking about my feelings about it. And I don't want them hip white people coming to me calling me no nigga or telling me nigga jokes. I don't like it. I'm just telling you, it's uncomfortable to me. I don't like it when black people say it to me. I really don't no more. It's nothing. It don't mean nothing. So I love y'all, and you take that with you. I guess y'all say. Me, man, to go out like I went to the jungle, the real jungle. Not that shit Tarzan live in. Tarzan wouldn't last a week in Africa.
Right, you say, where's Tarn? You mean the crazy white man? He in the trees with Cheetah. So where's Jane? She horn in Nairobi.
Because when you go out in the bush, you see animals. I mean, animals that are free look different than that shit we see in the zoo. You know them animals you fuck over at the zoo? Because you see the lion at the zoo, he be talking about. Right, you walk by, hey, lion. Hey.
I like the monkeys in the zoo because they throw their shit on me. You know, they be picking and shit, and they watch you, and the mother go. And then everybody laugh, go, oh, he's so cute. Oh, the monkey's cute. Why do people think bears are happy in the zoo? Like, look at the bear, he's so happy. The motherfucker's talking about, let me out.
Just give me a break. Can we get one of, if I could get a hand on one of you motherfuckers. Oh, I'll tell you what. Stop. I ain't had no pussy in the club. Yes! Send me a motherfucking panda. Bitch ain't even got a pussy yet. He's wondering why we ain't got no babies.
But in the jungle, if you see a rabbit, you get nervous. Because the rabbit be looking at you and I'm like,
roll the window up, dear.
It's just a rabbit.
Fuck you. Ain't no rabbit ever looked at me like that.
And you see a lion in the jungle, that's what they look like, lions. Motherfucker be in the bush, dummy.
Yeah, get your ass out the car. And bring that camera with you. Because we're going to eat all that shit.
I saw three lions chase down like a Cape buffalo. That's the baddest motherfucker on four legs, except for these bitches chasing him. And the lioness, they work around like in teams, give signals, you know they can't talk. And the buffalo saw one of them, right? And he tipped away from the rest of the herd. What was it? And them two others jumped on his ass.
And the other buffalo said, hey, motherfucker didn't warn us, fuck him.
And you know how the buzzards circle in the movies? These motherfuckers drove up in a truck.
Talking about what it is.
Cheetah, man, is the weirdest thing to see go chase something because you don't see nothing but dust. I saw two cheetah, and it looked like they were talking about jumping on some gazelle. There you go. You want to go after that herd?
Say, nah, man, they too close, shit. Why don't we give them another 100 yards?
How's the wife and family, man? You know, it's gonna be tourist season soon. I got an arm last year. They're about far enough. You ready? And the shit, like the gazelles and shit, hear them motherfuckers. They be eating and hear them just start running. They don't even look. Run! And the motherfucker that can't hear is in trouble. What? Cheetah! Huh? Cheetah! What? Cheetah! What you say? It's your ass! I got ya! I saw one of them gazelles, though, make a move on a cheetah. It was embarrassing. The cheetah got pissed off, too, because he was ready to get the gazelle. The gazelle said, and that motherfucker fell 400 yards trying to stop and got up. I'm going to get you, motherfucker. Make me look bad.
WMLR, More Life Radio, man. The king of comedy, man, Richard Pryor. Yes, the undoubted king of comedy, Richard Pryor. Man, It's nonstop. That brother there, many a night, man, I have snuck my mom's record out of her record player into my room playing Richard Pryor real low on my speakers because we wasn't allowed to play Richard Pryor. Man, Richard Pryor takes me back. Really gives me a lot of memories, man, of the king of comedy, man. Richard Pryor really transcended and went beyond, I mean, above and beyond being the greatest. He set the tone and the precedent for comedy of all races, not just being the greatest black comedian of all time, but the greatest comedian of all time, period. Was definitely undoubtedly the venerable Richard Pryor. Now, what I want to do is kind of give you some background on Richard Pryor, because Richard Pryor, man, really had an amazing life. A lot of people don't really give him a lot of credit or some of the credit that he really deserves, man. And I kind of want to, you know, share some information about the great Richard Pryor. You know, one thing about Richard Pryor is a lot of people didn't even know his full name. He had definitely an amazing name. It was Richard Franklin Lennox Thomas Pryor. Isn't that something? And he was born December 1st, 1940. And he unfortunately moved on to ancestorship December 10th, 2005. And, you know, he not only was he an American stand-up comedian, but he was also a social critic and a talented actor. He also did a lot of racial, you know, epithets. You know, he did a lot of epithets that dealt with racial activity and social unrest. And he did it in such a creative way, man. It was an amazing thing that he did. I mean, Richard Pryor he kind of revolutionized what live stand-up was. I remember Live and Smoking in 1971. You know, I was only 1 year old, and I remember as I got older, I watched this show, and I was amazed. I was sold out. I said, man, this man is ridiculously funny. He did The Niggas Crazy. I remember that Niggas Crazy, 1974, you know, where he did, you know, a lot of concert movies, which kind of gave way to people like Eddie Murphy. And even today, when you got certain comedians that do live stand-up movies, that Niggas Crazy was really funny. Is it something I said in 1975? Bicentennial Nigga in 1976. He even did Richard Pryor Live in Concert 1979. Now, one of my all-time favorites, he did Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip in 1982. Now, you know, he was born in Peoria, Illinois, wasn't too far from Chicago, Illinois. We tend to adopt him as our son. And he passed away in Encino, Los Angeles, California, you know. And, you know, he done so many, you know, amazing things. He really had a career spanning from about 1963 to 2005, man. It was just an amazing, amazing career. You know, he had seven children, believe it or not, seven children. and it was amazing some of the things that he did. Even some of his roles, Daddy Rich in Car Wash, very powerful. It was really funny how he played the preacher/pimp in Car Wash. Wally Carew, you see no evil, hear no evil. Oh, that was so funny, man. Henry Monroe in Stir Crazy. Now, who don't remember Henry Monroe in Stir Crazy? What about Gus Gorman in Superman 3? And then, of course, Monty Brewster in Brewster's Millions, man. I mean, even if you want to learn more about, you know, the great Richard Pryor, go to richardpryor.com. He actually still has a website, man, where you know, it really showcases his life, man, and really shows some of the things that he was so, so powerful and known for. So, yeah, check that out, man. So what we're going to do, man, we're going to get back into the comedy, back into the laughter, back into the rejoicing of remembering the king of comedy, Richard Pryor, right here on the debut episode of Dark Humor, Celebration of Black Comedy, right here on WMLR, your number one station dedicated to Black emancipation. So let's sit back, man. Let's get some more Richard Pryor. And this is Khonsu Sheshmore Amon. Peace, love, and power, y'all. Let's get back to Rich, man. Let's get some laughing on.
WMLR, your number one station, focused on rebuilding our nation.
I don't give a shit.
You niggas taking a chance being in Long Beach, though, Jack. I saw the police had some brother jacked up when we was coming in here. Niggas' hands way up here. I'm like, huh? What?
They're searching the shit. Bet they take him away to jail.
Go to jail in Long Beach is a motherfucker, though. It's just, where you at?
I'm in Long Beach. Shit, we ain't coming down there to get your ass out.
White people, this is fun part for me when the white people come back after intermission and find out niggas done stole their seats.
What is it? Weren't we sitting here, dear? Weren't we, I believe, we were sitting here, weren't we?
Yes, we were sitting right there.
Well, you ain't sitting here now, motherfucker.
You ever notice how nice white people get when there's a bunch of niggas around? Right, they get outside, they talk to everybody, right? They say, hi, how you doing?
I don't know you, but here's my wife.
Hello. What you taking my picture for? Who you gonna show it to?
I got a picture of Richard Pryor.
Who gives a fuck? No, it's funny though, man. White people be funny. And you ever notice, like, you be the only nigga someplace and you go where white people, they be funky? Right? They be like,
you want to move out of the way, fellas? Excuse me. Thank you very much. Taking up all the fucking area. Jesus Christ.
And niggas gorilla they way in the place, man. We saw about 8 dead white people when we was coming in, still had tickets in their hands. Niggas had just run over them getting in here.
Move out the way, motherfucker. Shit. We ain't seen a nigga in 3 years. What the fuck you talking about?
Why, dude, shark. Go ahead, shark. Cut in. Shark, okay. Well, what do you want, trouble? There's a whole bunch of them. They could be cousins or anything. Some white dudes you cut in front of don't play that shit though, right? You cut in front of them.
All right, cut the shit. Just cut the fucking crap. Hold up.
I love when white dudes get mad and cuss, right? Because y'all some funny motherfuckers when you cuss.
Right, they be saying shit like, yeah, come on, peckerhead. You fucking jerk off, come on, son of a bitch, come on. Yeah, you fucking ain't right, buddy.
Niggas be talking about buddy this.
Yeah, you want to buddy something, buddy up on his head.
Black men will grab them dicks, Jack. I don't
Yeah, niggas be walking down the street, they gonna hold their dick. Like, what's happening, bro? I ain't nothing to it. Shit.
Well, you know how it is. I'm just hanging on.
Right, even Andrew Young, he grab his dick. Right, he be talking to the President of the United States.
Andrew Young, Mr. President. No, we got to talk some serious shit. No, really. Excuse me, Mrs. Carter.
Oh, that's all right. Bigger than a peanut.
Patty and I want to say we're really happy that you come out to see us tonight. Mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. Be singing her ass off too, don't she? I mean, Patty gets some shit down in there, be wah! Shit go all through me, man.
Let me see, sing it, you motherfuckers, yeah.
And the band's a bitch too, man. The band's a motherfucker she got. Good. And that white boy on the horn be playing his ass off, right? He don't even bend, motherfucker. Most people play the horn, they got to bend or something to get that shit out of there, right? This can't be the money. And don't miss shit, right?
Don't worry, niggas, I'm with you. Go ahead.
And I am really personally happy to see anybody come out and see me, right? Especially much that I done fucked up this year.
Taking my ass to jail for killing my car.
And it seemed fair to kill my car to me, right? Because my wife was going to leave my ass.
You know, I said, not in this motherfucker, you ain't. No, Lord. No, if you leave, you'll be driving them hush puppies you got on. Because I'm going to kill this motherfucker here.
And I had one of them big old magnums, you know how the noise they make when you shoot something, I shot a Tarzan. Tarzan, ah! It got good to me, I shot another one.
And that vodka I was drinking, said, go ahead, shoot something else.
I shot the motor fell out the motherfucker, right?
Motor say, fuck it. Then the police came, I went in the house.
Because they got magnums too.
And they don't kill cars. They kill niggas.
Police got a chokehold they use out here though, man. They choke niggas to death. That mean you be dead when they through. Right, did you know that?
Wait, the nigga's going, yeah, we know wife. No, I had no idea.
Yeah, two grab your legs, one grab your head, it'll snap.
Oh, shit, he broke. Can you break a nigga? Is it okay? Let's check the manual. Yep, page 8, you can break a nigga right there. See? Let's drag him downtown. Okay.
And they got them dogs they stick on your ass, right? Them German shepherds and shit. Nasty motherfuckers, right? Some places they got them Dobermans, Doberman Pinschers. Them some bad motherfuckers. They fast, too. Hey, catch the average white boy. By the time they catch a nigga, though, they too tired to do anything. Right? Maybe get petted or some shit like that.
You try to run him off? Sit your ass right there, then. Won't get on. You all right.
I saw him let one loose on a young brother about 16 in the alley. Police jumped out the car and sick the Doberman loose on him. And the brother was low running.
He was down in here.
And the dog was on his ass. And the And it must have got good to the brother because he shifted into overdrive on the dog. Yeah, the brother had a cap on. He just went. And it looked like to me like the dog said, shit. Motherfuck that nigga, man. She ain't gonna kill me out here. She. Give me a biscuit, yeah. Them dogs are something else, man. I got two dogs, I got two Malmutes that I trained to fight the police dogs. I did. I said, if you see any dog jump on me, y'all better do something. Because if you don't, you know what happened to that car in New Year?
We got you, Rich. We got you. Come on.
And they won't bite shit, right? I mean, they're very intelligent dogs, though, right? I mean, they be reading dog food cans and shit. They do it.
Helpo, no meat byproducts, no slimy. Yeah, Rich, this will be good. Fix that up for us, please. Could we have a little wine with that, perhaps?
And a burglar come in the house and
don't fuck with the dinner plate. You can have all this shit up here.
So I got a Doberman, right? One of them bad motherfuckers, right? Somebody stole him. That's how bad he was. And I got him from a dog home. You know, you can get dogs from the dog home, save them from killing them. You know, I got him from the dog home, and somebody had abused him real bad, because every time I call him, he'd freak out. I said, hey, champ, what? Shit, Jesus Christ.
What are you doing, man? Don't do that shit. I'm telling you, fucking with my hand, man. It's a real bummer, Rich. God, please.
They're like that. Dobermans are like that. When they're puppies, they're real scared, man. You look at them, shit, they're... But when they get older, they don't even like for you to stare at them. Right? Most dogs you can stare down. You look at a dog too long, they go, oh, oh, oh. You stare at a Doberman, don't be dumb. I don't play that shit. And then they show you their teeth, right? This look like I'm smiling, motherfucker. I'm about to get in your ass. And they make real good watchdogs, right? But the only problem is they let burglars come in your house. They do, they have a burglar, yeah, come on in, come on, yeah. Come on in the bedroom, let me show you where the money is. Yeah, get on in, get all that, yeah. Come on in the kitchen, get silver, hurry up, come on, yeah, come on. And they wait for the burglar to hit the door. That's when they turn into the exorcist. Right, the burglar goes, they go, you can't leave. I want to play. And that's how you find the burglar when you get home, right? To be the mom. Motherfucker sound like the fly.
Help me. The dog is going to bite my asshole out. Help me.
Them pets are something else, man. I got pets. I love my little pets. I got monkeys and shit. My monkeys died, though. Yeah. I had two squirrel monkeys. You ever seen them squirrel monkeys? They got them hands. They freak a dog out. They do. They get on a dog and them fingers touch a dog. Dog go, I had a one named Fran. I named him Fran because the first time I opened the cage, he ran up my arm and stuck his dick right in my ear. He did. Hey, felt like a wet Q-tip, right? He pissed all on my cheek. I had to throw him up in the ceiling. He'd do that to anyone. I'd bite over people, you know, just to fuck with them. You know, I said, go and open the cage up, you know, up their arm. I remember one time this guy from Warner Brothers was coming over. He's going to do a film with me. And he came over and he opened the cage. And I said, don't open the cage. I'm
like, well, you won't be doing any films at Warner Brothers. That's for goddamn sure. Want to get this monkey's dick out of my ear, Rich? Jesus Christ. Come on, dear. Well, put something over my head there. We'll just say it's a hump. Let's go.
So I got him a woman, you know, because he was fucked up. I got him a woman called her sister, right? He did the same to her, run right in the cage.
She said, freeze. First thing, I got to show you where the pussy is.
And he got him some money.
monkey pussy and freaked. He just went out of his mind, man. At night, he'd be up there unlocking the cage and shit. And then they'd run away and stay 2 and 3 days, right? And you could hear him in the tree. Sometime far away. Sometime up on. Finally, about the third day, he came in. He was fucked up, right? With some friends. I had to go out of town. I left him with some friends to watch him. And he had like the little gas heater on the floor, and they turned it on, and they didn't have no matches. And they died. Killed him. I was hurt too, man. I was, because I came home and found my monkey was dead. I said, shit. So I love my monkey so much. I was in the backyard, I was crying. And it was a dog used to live next door to us, a German Shepherd, right? Big, ugly, mean. German Shepherd, he would bite anything. And he jumped the fence and came over there. And I felt something moving my hand like that, and it was him. I started petting him. He looked at me and said, what's the matter, Rich? See, my monkeys died. I said, what? Your monkeys died? Ain't that a bitch? You mean the two monkeys used to be in the trees, they died? I said, yeah, they died. I said, shit. I was gonna eat them too. He said, don't linger on that shit too long. You know, it fuck with you. I said, I'll try. Yeah, you take care. He went back and jumped over the fence. Just before he jumped, he looked back at me and said, now you know I'm gonna be chasing you again tomorrow. A miniature horse. You ever seen a miniature horse about this big? Full grown. That's as big as ever gonna get. Yes, ma'am. I'm not lying. It's named Ginger. A friend of mine, Bert Sugarman, gave me this horse. He helped me produce my TV shows. He gave me this horse instead of money. And the horse is nice, but it don't do nothing. Horses don't do nothing when they're that little, but eating shit. And horses shit while they walk. They do. They be wondering. And steam be coming off of horse shit, yeah. Horses got some terrible flies, don't even fuck with horse shit. Fly be coming out. And the first time that my dog saw the horse, they thought it was another dog, right? Because animals don't have no racism. They thought it was another dog. They said, look, there's another dog with a long tail. Let's go say hello. And my cousin Denise, she had a Great Dane staying with us. They said, yeah, come on, let's go over there. Yeah. They ran over and that horse smell hit their ass, right? He said,
hey, this ain't no goddamn dog.
Right? And the Great Dane said, I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna fuck it. You come back and say, well, you can't fuck it. And my two male music, well, let's eat the bitch, let's eat the bitch. To beat him off with a cue stick. I said, get the fuck off the dog, goddamn. Leave the horse alone. Move, mother, get back. They got even with me, too, the dogs did. Because one time I was walking with him in the front yard, and I heard one say to the other one, let's fuck him. You know how you be playing with your dog? I said, Caleb, get out of there. Right. Say, what the fuck is you doing? Get out of there. Get your hand, man. What? Help! And dogs, when you make dogs stop fucking, they go fuck air, anything, right? He said, get down, goddammit. They just... Do you remember when the animals used to get hooked up when you was little? That was some funny shit to me, Jack. Because they'd be in the middle of the street, didn't know which way to go, right? He said, well, make up your mind, shit. There's a car coming. I always thought women should have that kind of pussy for rapists. You know, the kind of just lock up. Right? Because that's some vile shit to take somebody's humanity like that anyway, right? At least y'all pussy ought to be able to lock up, right? So, whip.
Okay, let's go. Come on. Don't make a move or tighten up. Just keep going. Come on.
Oh. Oh, shit. Had a little pain in my heart there. I thought I was having another heart attack. So, what? You get scared after you have a heart attack all the time. Anytime you feel a little pain, you go, huh? Anyone here ever had a heart attack? Them motherfuckers hype. I'm not bullshit, man. I was walking in the front yard. I was just walking along and something said,
don't breathe. I said, huh? So you heard me, motherfucker. I said, don't breathe. Okay, I won't breathe. Then shut the fuck up then. Okay, I said, don't kill me. Get on one knee and prove it.
I'm on one knee. Don't kill me.
Think about dying now, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that.
You didn't think about it when you was eating all that pork.
You know black people got high blood pressure anyway, don't you? Yeah, I know. Watch your diet. Don't kill me. You be thinking about shit like that when you think you're gonna die. Don't kill me. You put an emergency call into God too, right? Say, can I speak to God right away, please? Right, always some angel talking about, I'll have to put you on hold. And then your heart get mad if it find out you was going behind its back to talk to God.
Your heart say, was you trying to talk to God behind my back?
No, I wasn't. You's a lying motherfucker, you was. I woke up in an ambulance, right? And it wasn't nothing but white people staring at me. I said, ain't this a bitch? I done died and wound up in the wrong motherfucking house. Now I gotta listen to Lawrence Welk the rest of my day. But them paramedics can save your ass, you know. They really are something, man. They are, man. You have to give them a lot of credit. They're good. They say civilian people, we can save people, you know. Give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I don't know. You know what I mean? Because if I'm walking down the street and I see some motherfucker laid all out and slobber and shit hanging out his mouth, he ain't gonna make it. You know what I mean? I'm gonna say, bro, I don't think you gonna make it. Unless you can get somebody to wipe that shit off your mouth. Right, because you could be giving somebody mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and they die and death ease down your lungs. Death don't give a fuck where it go. And it get 2 for 1, that's a good day for death. And if you ever have to go to the hospital, which I hope you never do, carry your own piss with you. Because that's what they want. As soon as you get in the hospital, they want some blood and some piss. You always have the blood, but you never have the piss. And they get mad at you.
You're not going to leave her until you piss in that bottle.
And you never can piss. You ever tried it?
So can you turn on some water, please?
And if you do start, you need 8 or 9 bottles, right? Nurse! Hurry up, I'm not gonna make it! And they be so nonchalant with your piss, right? They be coming up,
that's your piss, thank you.
I could never grab nobody's piss like that, Jack. I'd have to have some prongs and shit before I grab some piss.
Right, I'll be going, all right, I'm going in to get the piss now. All right, I have the piss. Clear the hallway. I'm coming through. Everybody, back off, please.
Then they hook your ass up to that machine. You know, you look like Frankenstein. You get to watch your life beep away. Right? You be doo, doo. You be watching too, Jack, because if you see doo, that's your ass. Right? I woke up one morning. I saw doo. I said, ah! Because the hospital ain't no place to get well. That's the truth. That ain't no joke. You can die in there and nobody give a fuck. Unless you John Wayne or somebody. See, John Wayne can kick death's ass. Didn't he? I mean, the dude, he had cancer one time, kicked death's ass. Open heart surgery, John Wayne kicked death's ass. Like John Wayne just said, get the fuck out of here, death.
See, they filming some shit I'm wanting to tell y'all. I mean, it's like you didn't know. Y'all ain't gonna get paid shit either. So don't be asking me for a motherfucking thing when the show's over. Don't be saying, nigga, where's my money for the movie? No, I guess it's gonna be in the theater or something. I don't know. That's what they got all this shit. What, baby? What? I can't hear you. Can y'all get a spokesman? Wait a minute.
What'd you say? I couldn't hear you, babe.
Wait, motherfucker, I was talking to her.
Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's black stuff.
Because the white people were looking confused. What does that mean, Mars?
Preach, nigger, preach. What is that, actually?
Thinking about death, though, I'd like to die like my father died. Right? My father died fucking. He did. My father was 57 when he died, right? The woman was 18. My father came and went at the same time. And the woman that he was making love to, right, couldn't give away no pussy for 2 years. Because people go,
no, babe, no, Lord. You didn't kill one motherfucker with it. That's all right. Now, that's some pussy you can keep right there. Mm.
And I saw the lady recently. She's still a little fucked up about it. You know, she came and said, I'm sorry I killed your father. I said, miss, what are you talking about? I said, shit, people get killed in plane wrecks and run over by buses and shit. He died in your pussy. That's called recycling. You know, I just figured God must have loved my father awful lot to let him go out like that. Because if I had a choice, now, man, you know the truth. And I tell you, if you had a choice between dying in some pussy or getting hit by a bus, which line would you be in? Which line I'm gonna be in? I'm gonna be in that long motherfucker, Jack. Funeral was something else too, because black funerals are different than white funerals, right? You know, white people have funerals. You don't give it up at the funeral. You do. I mean, you love your dearly departed as much as we do. But at the funeral, you don't. You be. Oh, my. Oh. And then sometimes they faint. Oh. See, black people let it hang out at the funeral. They don't get it. Wah! Lord, I'm gonna get it. Right, and then they fall all on your ass. Right? You say, goddamn, baby, get your big ass up. So why in the fuck you gonna kill me because that nigga did? My grandmother could do that shit real good. That's how she made me stop snorting cocaine. She did. She pulled that shit on me at work, too. I had the nerve to pull out some cocaine at the dining room table. She had never seen me do any, right? And she looked at me a long time. She said, boy, what's that you putting up your nose?
I said, cocaine, Mom.
Jesus, God, take me now, Lord. Take me now. God, save my life. Take me. I said, Mama, don't do that shit. Look, I'm throwing the shit out. Mama, look. $1,600 worth of shit down the drain, Mama. She found out how much it cost. She said, you dumb motherfucker. You could have sold some of that shit back to the man you got it from. I told you that shit make you ignorant. God damn your soul. My grandmother's the lady who used to discipline me, right? You know, beat my ass. Anyone here remember them switches? Right, you used to have to go get off the tree yourself and take them leaves like that. I see them trees today, I will kill one of them motherfuckers. I will stop the car and say, wait, hold it, Jeff, listen, yeah, you ain't never gonna grow up. You won't be beating nobody's ass. Right,
Because that's some help. Do I have a tumor or did it get dark in here? Because that's some hell of a psychology, right? To make you go get a switch to beat your own ass with. Right? My grandma said, boy, go get me something to beat your ass with. And that would be the longest walk in the world, right? To be done. And you be thinking all kind of shit, right? Because you know you done fucked up, Jack. Maybe it'll snow before I get there or something. Maybe she'll have a heart attack and won't be able to whoop me. I don't want to get no whoop because it's going to tear it up. I know it. And you know you couldn't come back with no little switch, right? Because if you did, she'd go out and get the tree and beat your ass with it, right? You'd be like, please, I don't want to get no whoop. And you get them switches and they start cutting the wind on the way home right here. Make you start crying before you get in the house. Like, mama!
WMLR, More Life Radio, man. You're listening to the great and, you know, the late, great Richard Pryor, man. One of the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest comedian of all time, man. He was really killing me, man. I really enjoy Richard Pryor, man. And this is a new show, everybody that's listening in. This is a new show that we're going to be bringing, new broadcast every Wednesday. It's going to be called Dark Humor, a celebration of black comedy. And of course, this is your number one station dedicated to black emancipation. And one thing that we enjoy is the ability to laugh through all our struggles and tribulations, man. We are a resilient people. We are still able to put a smile on our face. And one of the greatest at doing that was Richard Pryor. And tonight, it was just awesome. You know, we had a chance to really appreciate the art and the skill that Richard Pryor really possessed, man. He was truly, truly one of the best of all time. Somebody that we really, really must show respect and homage to as the greatest. And I felt that it was more than appropriate. It would have been disrespectful, man, almost sacrilegious, to not let the king debut the show Dark Humor. We talking about Richard Pryor. It would have been crazy if I wouldn't have done that. So I'm so glad that everybody tuned in tonight. Everybody was really able to sit back and get some laughter in and reminisce at all the great times Richard Pryor brought to us and the smiles that he always brought to our faces, man. That's what makes us a resilient people as beautiful black people. We still have the ability to laugh at life. And that's a wonderful thing, and I'm so grateful to be able to bring this to you tonight, man. Dark Humor. Yes, yes, a celebration of black comedy. So, you know, that about wraps it up for our show tonight. I really appreciate everybody coming in and listening and tuning in tonight. And, you know, replay this. You know, this is the start of conversation, man. It's nothing like talking about comedy or your favorite comedians or even the comedic stuff that happens in your life. This is just a great way to do it. So, man, we try to bring you quality programming on, you know, radio programming on the Blog Talk platform. That's what WMLR is about. More Life Radio. That's what it's about, man. The life and love of your blackness and knowing how to emancipate yourself through knowledge and applying that knowledge. That's what WMLR is about. So this is your one and only Khonsu Cheshmuamun. I appreciate you so much, man. Y'all be blessed. Y'all be peaceful. Y'all keep it real. One love. WMLR. We out.
The awakening is real. Is real. It's your number one station. Focused on rebuilding our nation. WMLR, More Life Radio, Real Radio.